know, you say gospel and they're like, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. We've heard that before. The ministers of Satan have done such a good job canvassing the neighborhood ahead of us so that when the true ministers come, no one wants to hear it anymore. We're in a totally different situation than Paul was. And the affliction is going to come from those who think they do God's service. Right, when it comes. But honestly, in this nation, there are nations where there are people still suffering just the way they did in Paul's day. But I'm not sent to those people. I'm sent to the English-speaking world, to the American world specifically. And I know there are people around the world who could possibly listen to this. And for them, okay. You know, but I ultimately, and they have a lot to do with the American world, because why? Everyone wants to imitate the American dream. Everyone wants to be like us. They're coveting after foolish lusts. The very things for which the wrath of God is going to come down on this country. All the other nations are coveting after and desiring the carnal blessings. They don't want to have the word that we have. I tell you what, the English language, I don't think any other language has ever been blessed with so many Bible tools, because that's where the biggest demand is, or has been, for the past few centuries. No doubt that's changing because of the perversions. People turn away. I see it as a good thing. People have turned away from falsehood. And the lies of the liars have gotten so far away from the gospel that finally there's becoming a point where a real distinction is going to be easier to draw. And I want to play on those distinctions because you know why? It's what sets the true gospel apart from the false. The power of God to deliver from sin. To turn a heart full of hate into a heart full of love. To turn a mind which is double-minded to be sound. Affliction. I can only pray that I could be kind of worthy to suffer the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. This is a holy calling. This is not some cheap calling. Tent revival. I mean, nothing, you know, not mocking the venue. What I'm saying is like the spirit of those things. The gospel that's preached in those things is not the gospel of our Lord. Sorry. He's not called us according to our works. God wants you to do a work. Accept Him in your heart. Come forward and receive Jesus. God doesn't want to work from you. Nope. He's calling you according to His purpose and His grace, which was given you in Christ Jesus before the world even began. That's where salvation begins. The salvation begins with God before He even starts making the world. He gives salvation to certain who He has ordained should be His sons. And then that salvation is made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in history, but in your life. When He came to you, when He revealed Himself to you, the calling and election of God is becoming manifested. As Peter says, make your calling and election sure. Do these things. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness and love. When you see those things added to you, you know that your election is sure. Because you know why? Man could not put all those things together. When you see Christ formed in you, your calling and election is sure. Because God cannot form Christ in Himself. It always winds up in some form of hypocrisy. But true godliness, true holiness, the holy calling is made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in history, not just when He first appeared to you in His life and revealed Himself, but when He reveals Himself in you, and He is formed in you, and He abolishes death by your resurrection from the dead. He abolished it by His works, and these works were finished before the world began, but they have to appear in history. He has brought life and immortality to light. God only has immortality. You remember from Timothy chapter 6 of the first book of Timothy, we talked how that God only has immortality. And this doctrine, the immortal soul, is a lie because Christ brought forth life and immortality. It is not something you possess as an innate quality just because you exist. You're not immortal. You're going to die. Unless God intervenes, you will die. You are not immortal. If he puts you in those fires are going to eat you up. And there'll be nothing left. The dead know not anything. Neither have they any moral portion of anything that is done. They're not going to be screaming down there. God, Christ brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Why? Because it is faith in these precious promises which are given to us. By faith in these promises, through faith, we partake of these promises by believing on them. And by believing on them, as Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So Christ imputes righteousness to us, and then he delivers righteousness to us as he delivered Isaac. And Abraham did not stumble. He did not stagger at the infirmity of his flesh, nor at the barrenness of Sarah's womb. But no, he did not stagger. Neither do I stagger at the ungodliness of my flesh, at the wickedness of my life. I do not stagger. I believe the promise of God that he can turn it all around, and he already has done so and will continue to do so from till I be made into the image of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Not just a shadow, but the fullness of his stature. It is not possible for the servant to be greater as his master. But the goal of every true servant is to be as his master. We do not know what we shall be, but we do know that we shall be like him. That is what the word of God teaches. That is the gospel. Any other gospel that is preached, or that is declared, or that is taught, any other doctrine, don't consent to it. Refuse. It's just vain babbling. Through the gospel whereunto I am appointed a preacher. What is a preacher anyways? It means a herald. Attention everyone, attention. This is what the gospel is. Preaching is just the idea, I'm just going to declare what the truth is in a very proclaiming sort of way. Like I just did. What I just did was a form of preaching. It's also a form of teaching, because teaching and preaching are very close. There's only in the English language one letter. Or, well, subtract two letters and put one back in. An apostle? Now, an apostle is a little more specific. Anyone can be a preacher of the gospel. Anyone can preach the gospel. I mean, what I mean is man, woman,